We're learning Daf Yudalid in Masechtas Nedarim, which is right at the beginning of the second parak. The second parak starts at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So at the bottom of Yud Gimel, the Mishnah says, brings a list of a number of things that if you make a neder using or being matvis, which means you're trying to make your new item similar to that other object, and therefore make it into a neder that is supposedly usur. So the Mishnah over here is actually discussing when the neder doesn't work. What kind of things, if you would compare it to those objects, they would not be considered a good neder. That's what the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Beis is talking about. Now, so for our purposes in the beginning of the Gemara, the Mishnah, first example that the Mishnah brings is chulin sha'ich halacha, which is that if I'm going to feed you chulin, so then the halacha is that it's not a real neder. In fact, the point being, as we'll see in a moment in the Gemara, it's not a real neder that you don't even have to go to a rav to be matter it, to undo it. It's nothing. It's mamish nothing. And then the Mishnah continues with a few other examples like avodah zarah and shkatzim ramosim and so on and so forth. And then lastly, the Mishnah finishes off by talking about, but if a person makes a neder to make his wife usur, and the example that the Gemara gives is like his mother. He wants to compare his wife to his mother. So there the halacha is that he does have to go to a rav to be matir that neder. So we'll get to that in a moment in the Gemara. But let's start, if you don't mind, from four lines from the bottom on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, which is the beginning of the sugya of this idea that if I say I want my object to be usur like chulin, which there's really nothing usur about chulin, so the halacha is that it's not a neder so much so that you don't even have to be matarit. So let's discuss the Gemara. The Gemara says, Taima da amar chulin sha'ichalucha. It's because the reason our case in our Mishnah works is because you said it should be chulin, which, as we already pointed out, is nothing, and therefore it's not a good neder. Ha'amar lachulin sha'ichalucha. But if I say it should be lachulin, which will always read that it should not be chulin what I'm giving to you, meaning it should be hektish, mashma, as the Gemara itself says, loy lachulin lahave, ela carbon. It shouldn't be considered chulin, rather it should be considered a carbon, therefore it's asur. And the implication is, our Mishnah is trying to say that in that case it would be considered a neder and the object is matvis to something, it would be considered asur. Okay, but the problem that we have is, Mani Masnisin, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? E Reb Meir, if you want to say the Tana of our Mishnah is Reb Meir Halesle Nechlal Avata Shemeir, hey, now on the top of Yudalad Amad Aleph. Reb Meir doesn't hold of this concept that we can infer the opposite of what I said and create a nether based on that. Meaning, if I said it, it's a good neder. But to say that, well, I didn't say that, and therefore by process of elimination or in conclusion, I meant something else, and that other thing is going to be usur, that is how I'm going to create the neder. Reb Meir doesn't hold of that kind of logic. He says that doesn't work. You can't create a neder by inferring the opposite. And again, based on what we've said many times already in the Masechtas Nedarim, the idea of making a neder and creating a new kind of isur is because the Torah allows you to create that isur, but you have to create it by saying the correct thing. So by saying something else and meaning it should be usur, that's not how you create an eder. You create an eder by saying something is usur. So therefore, Reb Meir doesn't hold of this concept that from the fact that I said it this way, the opposite, and I don't mean this, so the opposite of that is going to be usur. Reb Meir holds that's not an eder. So therefore, the diik that we're making in our Mishnah would never fit with Reb Meir's shita. So Reb Meir can't possibly be the Tana of the Mishnah. That is all assuming, and if that is the diuk that our Mishnah is trying to make. So finally, the Gemara says, Ve'ela, so if it's not Reb Meir's shita, Reb Yehuda, so Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda have been arguing about this throughout the Masechta a few times already on this concept. So what is that a good neder or not? So Reb Yehuda holds that would technically be a good neder if I said it in a way that it's obvious that I really mean the Isser, even if I didn't say it, but that's what I meant. So Ve'ela Reb Yehuda, so you want to say this is shita's Reb Yehuda, Haina Reisha? So then, if so, then Reb Yehuda is saying the same thing as the beginning. Now obviously the Reisha over here doesn't mean the beginning part of the Mishnah, because this is clearly the beginning of the next perek. So as the Ran points out, the ratio that we're referring to is what we've already learned in the first perek, what we learned earlier. In any event, that is all shitas that there would be no point in our Mishnah trying to make that kind of diuk. So it doesn't make sense for Rabbi Yehuda, if he was the Tana of a Mishnah, so to speak, and he was the one writing this Mishnah, there would be no point in Rabbi Yehuda making this point. There would be no Chiddush to that whatsoever. To which the Gemara says, you're right, Anachanami, there is no Chiddush. Aidi diktoni kibosur chazir kaboy de zara. Since we're going to give the next few examples, and the Gemara just quotes two of them, even though there's more than that in the Mishnah. But since we're going to continue and talk about Basar Chazir, that I want to compare my item and making a neder based on Chazir, or making my neder based on Avodah Zarah, which, again, the Mishnah concludes similarly that it does not work, it's not a good neder, for a different reason. So therefore we say the case of Chulin, meaning that the reason why we list the case of Chulin over here is not because we're trying to make a diuk and saying we said it like this and therefore it's not a good neder versus if you said it something like no, there's no diuk in the fact. We're just listing. Over here, we're really focusing on the next cases in the Mishnah. Those are really the chiddush of the Mishnah. But in reality, factually, using chulin as an example really is the same halacha. So we list it over here in the Mishnah, but not for any diyukim and not for anything else, any other chidushim that you could derive from this case. This is just listed here because factually it belongs in this category, but it's not because if you said it like this versus saying it like that, it's not here for any diyukim purposes, just because it's accurate. So we list it here. That's the first teretz of the Gemara, and I believe that's where we got to last time. But now the Gemara is going to continue with the second teretz. Ravina Omar. Ravina says no. Hachi Kitani. The way to read the Mishnah is, and in fact there is a chiddush over here, the elu mutarin kichulin. The following examples are going to be just as mutar as chulin, kibosur chazir, kavay dezara. And similarly, again, trying to compare and making an neder based on chazir, something that's also because it's chazir or because it's avay dezara. Now, so we are trying to compare it. The Eloi Tana Chulin, because the reason why we have to say that they're also like Chulin, that Chulin is the, so to speak, the perfect example, is the most illustrative example, because if we didn't say Chulin, we didn't start off that way, Hava Mina Boy Sheilu. I would think that when I make this neder, even though the neder is nachal, I still have to go to a rav to be matarit, because you never know, there might be something lingering, there might be something about it, or whatever, there might something that requires that you undo this neder. So therefore we say no. Just to alleviate that havamina, to make sure that you don't even have that havamina, the Mishnah has to say it's like chulin. It's mamish like saying nothing. It's just like we understand that that's clear to us, especially based on the first parak and in general, it's clear to us that when I make a neder based on something to be chulin, which is totally not usher, so there is nothing about this neder. It's not a neder in the first place. So too, the next few examples in the Mishnah similarly are also going to have nothing usher about them, and that is the point that the Mishnah is saying. To again, it's an added extra point that besides the fact that it's not a neder, you also don't even have to go to a rav to be matter. That is the way Ravina wants to say the chiddush of the Mishnah is, and why specifically we do list chulin for a purpose, not just as a list. So the Gemara says, however, could I really think that? Could I really think that that's meaning in the other cases that there's a havamina, I should really go to a rav to be matter those nedarim that aren't chal. Hamiditani seifa. Let's not forget what the seifa of this Mishnah says. The last case of the Mishnah was, and the Gemara is going to quote it. Ha'oimer le'ishtoi hareyat alayki imo. So in the case of the last case of the Mishnah was that if somebody says about his wife that he wants to make her usher, just like his mother would be usher, for example. There the halacha is, poskalai pesach mimakam acher. The halacha is that even though it's not really a good neder, because the problem with making somebody usher like your mother is the same thing as making them usher for any other davar ha'usher, and that's the reason why the neder is not chal. So a mother also, the isser is the isser teira, and it's not an isser hanoder, it's not something that he created, so the neder is not chal at all. And even so, over there, uniquely, that's a case where a person has to go to a rav to be matir, michlal. So the Gemara continues and says, michlal d'reisha loibo yishela. So we see in the other cases, you don't need to ask. Meaning that is the implication from the Mishnah itself, that the Mishnah is saying specifically this case is a case where one would have to go to a rav to be matir, even though it's not a good neder. Versus all the other cases that if it's not a good neder, you don't even have to take it any further. That's it. You're done. It's not a good neder. So it cannot be that the reason why we're listing chulin is to make that point that you don't have to go to a rav. We could, if that's the reason the point that the Mishnah is trying to make, then the Mishnah already made that point in the last case. It doesn't need to list chulin in order to clarify for us that you don't have to go to a Rav. The last case is the only case, and versus, I shouldn't say the only case, but is the case that the Mishnah lets us know that regularly you don't have to go to a Rav to ask. So the Gemara agrees with that question and says, "Ala mechaverta chulin memelo nazbo." You're right. It's really mechaverta the way we translate this, even though it's not a literal translation. Rather, we're going to learn from the first teretz of the other teretz of the Gemara, and we're going to say ultimately that the reason why the Mishnah listed the case of chulin memelo nazbo is just brought derech agav, that once we're listing all the cases, so for accuracy purposes, and this is the classic example of an eder that's not chal because it's not going anywhere. So we list the case of chulin, even though there's no diuk in the case of chulin, there's nothing extra special about the case of chulin other than it's the classic case. Now, I just want to point out something very interesting that I just saw, which is usually the Gemara, when the Gemara uses the expression ela mechaverta, the way the sentence finishes is ela mechaverta kedeshaninon meikaro, or something like that, where the Gemara just simply alludes to that there was another teretz to this kasha, but it doesn't actually spell out what the other kasha is. So I saw that it's very clearly that you're right. That's because we're learning Masechtas Nedarim, and the way Masechtas Nedarim is written, it actually is written differently, has different lashonis and has different style than other Masechtas and Shas. So over here, when the Gemara says on the Mechaverta, it says Chulin Mele Nazbe, it goes back and repeats what the first Teretz actually was. Not just the fact that there was another Teretz, but what the Teretz was. And again, I found that interesting because it just did solidify the fact that in Chulin so far we've seen a number of times where the Lashon of the Gemara is slightly different than other places in the way the Gemara expresses itself in other places in Shas. Here, so this is just an example, and it's the Mefarshim actually point out that this is a classic Nedarim type of difference. It's not different in any significant way, it's just written differently because that's the way Nedarim is written, a little bit differently. Okay. Fine. So in conclusion, the only answer is the reason why it's written chulin over here is just because it's an example of, it's a classic example that we already know, and then we list the other examples that fit into that same category. Okay. Now, the Gemara continues and says, Mino hanimili. How do we know that this halacha is true? What halacha are we referring to? We're referring to this new idea that when a person makes a neder on something that is already asur, a davar ha-asur, meaning that the Torah itself made it asur, not that it was asur because by creation of a person. So you can't be matvis on davar ha-asur. So how do you know that that's true? How do you know that because the Torah already made it asur, therefore, it cannot be used as the basis for something to be matvis to make another neder. So Amar Kro, because the pasuk says, "Ish ki yidor neder la Hashem." Person has to make a neder, and it's a double lashon, yidor neder la Hashem. When a person makes a neder, it becomes a neder la Hashem. So we darshan ad she yidor bedover hanoder, that the thing that you're making the neder on, the new item, has to be compared to something that is already itself also because you created, or it was created through a neder. So as opposed to the examples that our Mishnah lists, they're all categorically the same. Again, each one has its own chiddush, but they're all categorically the same. The reason why they're not chal is because it's already asur min ha-Torah. It's also that the Torah made it asur, so you can't make your object similar to that object because it's not, yours is not asur min ha-Torah, yours is a creation. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the basis of your drasha, now the way the Ran explains is if so, that it's based on davar ha-nodur, and it's based on the pasuk, and you're saying that the chiddush of the pasuk is that you could, this is how you make your neder. So then, afilu b'davar asur nami. So you could actually make a similar drasha and say that it applies even to those things that are asur min ha-Torah. Why? Because the pasuk says, l'asur iser al nafshoi. So, because the pasuk says to make it asur, lesser iser, double lashon of iser on yourself. So, just like over there, the lesser iser is referring to what could be understood that we're talking about things that are literally asur, that I'm making an iser based on something that is already asur. So I would think I should say, well, on the contrary, the pasuk is coming to include the davar ha-asur, that I can make a neder based on something that is asur. To which the Gemara responds, no. That pasuk, Lasser Isser Mibayi Leilik Titanya, we need that pasuk for something else. We need it for a different drasha, as the Gemara itself says, Ezu Isser Amar B'Tayr, what is the case of Asser B'Tayr? Now this is referring to the Gemara and Daf Yud Beis that we already learned. There, it's Asser when a person, specifically the case over there was when the Gemara wants to say, what's a case where it's Asser that I can make, that I can continue the Isser? The case was where a person makes an edit that I'm not going to drink wine on the day that my father died, or Tzayim Gedalia, or the day Yom Shachar Beis HaMikdash, and so on and so forth. That is the case where you could make it Asser, and over there the drasha is that it's Asser because it was continuously Asser. That was the drasha of the Gemara over there, again without going back and chazering the whole Daf Yud Beis, but that was the point. So it's referring to that it's Asser because it continues to be Asser. And that's why it's Asser. As opposed to, it's not, but it's again, even in that example, the example was that it was Asser because you created the Isser. Remember, especially if you're talking about Yom Shemes by Aviv, it's not necessarily Asser to drink wine. The Chiddush is that you decided that you want it to be Asser. Okay, fine, so you decided, now I can continue to have that day Asser on other levels as well. Continue it to be Asser on, let's say today, to be Asser. But again, it's a davar that you made into Isser, which is similar to davar another. So the Ran over here says two things that are very interesting. First of all, the Ran says, just to highlight in this Gemara, very important to know, that there's a machlekes rishonim about what kind of neder are we talking about. Apparently, there's two different, the way to make a neder can happen in two different ways. At least, again, according to some rishonim, the question is what the Ran means, whether the Ran means that there's two different types or really one different type. The idea is you can make a neder because I could simply say I want this object to be Asser. Then I want it to be Asser. And then I could say like a carbon. So it's, according to the Ran actually, it's not really two different types, it's all one and the same. Because the Ran holds, I am always saying like a carbon, even if I don't add the words like a carbon, because there's a concept of yodos, which we already learned in the earlier part of the Masechta, that there's a concept of yodos, which means even though I didn't finish my sentence, I understand how to finish the sentence, I understand what the person is gonna say, so it's as if he said it. So it's as if you said like a carbon. Now, what that means to say is, but if you hold that it's not yodos, that it's not that someone's finishing my sentence, then you could come out that there's two different ways to make a neder. One way to make a neder is simply by saying, I want this object to be Asser. That's the end of the sentence. That's the whole neder. The neder is, I want it to be Asser. That's like a stam, like a regular neder. As opposed to when I say like a carbon, when I add the words like a carbon, now what I'm doing is, I am, so to speak, what the Gemara's expression is, I'm being matfis. I'm attaching my item and the Isser that I want to create in my item to the Isser that already exists in another item. So if you learn like that, the way the Ran learns, and again, maybe the Ran learns that actually all Nedarim are Matvis, are through Matvis, but you're learning, and even if you don't say it, because of the concept of Yodos, we're going to finish your sentence to be as if you did say it, but the point is that you'd be making the Neder to be Usser, like the item itself that you are comparing it to. That's the idea that you're being Matvis over here as well. Again, there are those Rishonim that learn there are two different types. It seems, from the way the Ran phrases it, that there's really one type of neder. You're always comparing it to something else. Even if you don't say it, we're just going to finish your sentence as if you said it. So then that's why it's very important that the object that you're comparing it to is something that you made as a neder. That's one machlekes rishonim that comes up in this sugya. The other thing that the Ran says, which is very interesting, is the way he darshans this pasuk. According to the Ran, it's really obvious that you can't make a neder, especially if you learn everything as being matvis. It's really obvious that you can't be matvis on something that the Torah already said is usher. Because I can never make my object. Let's say we're talking about a regular object. We're talking about a chair. So I can never make my chair to be usher like a piece of chazer. The reason why something, a piece of chazer, is usher is because the Torah itself created that intrinsic isser. So how could I say my chair is like a piece of chazer? It's not. there's nothing about it that's the same. As opposed to when I do a davar on nadur and I say I want to create in my chair the same kind of iser as, let's say, my animal that I created as a carbon. So I inserted an iser into the carbon. So I want to insert, so to speak, that new iser into my object. So the way the Ran learns the Gemara is that since it's obvious, even though lesser iser, that when the Gemara brings the pasuk of lesser iser and says, no, maybe it is possible to create an eder and make something usser, even based on being matvis on something that's usser. I mean, it's a pasuk. If it's a pasuk, and that's what the pasuk is coming to teach us, obviously we're not going to argue on what a pasuk teaches us. But the Ran is saying, but since there is another drusher, even if it's not, so to speak, and excuse my expression, the best drasha possible, but there is another drasha over there, we're going to understand the words to be teaching us the other drasha. Because again, the Ran is coming from this notion of, it doesn't make sense that we should really be able to make a neder and be matvis on something that's already usher min haTorah as opposed to something that I created the iser. So that's why the way the Ran learns the Gemara is saying, okay, fine, since there is another drasha, so b'meila we're going to use that other drasha, and therefore the words lesser iser are not available to also teach us, so to speak, as the way Ran uses it, the way the Ran views it, as not coming to teach this huge chiddush that I can make a new neder based on something that was already min haTorah going to be aser. So that's how the Ran learns this Gemara. Continuing now the Gemara is going to go to the second topic in the Mishnah, as we have a quick quote in our Gemara. So there the halacha, as we said in the Mishnah, is that if a person says that he wants his wife to be similarly usher like his mother is, just like we know that obviously a person is not allowed to be with his mother, so too, that's what he was trying to do with his wife. So there the halacha is that even though it's not a good neder, you have to go to a rav to be matur. That is the point of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "V'reiminu." I'll ask it as a contradiction. Is that really so true? It says, "Harei alai kebaser ima." Person says, again, it's a slightly different lashon, but he says, "I want you to be to me like the flesh of my mother, or kebaser achoisi, or the flesh of my sister." The girsa over here is achoisi. That's the girsa that we have. Again, most Rishonim learned it's achoisi, so that's what we're going to stick with. Ka'arlo is the beginning of the growth of a tree, which is aser completely. The fruit of the tree are completely aser. Uklaya karem is when you do kalayim, as you mix seeds from a vineyard with other type of seeds like wheat or something like that, and it also is totally usher. So again, the halacha is loya marklum. The halacha is, it's as if you mamish said nothing, because it's consistent with the halacha that we already learned, that it's a dabara usher, and therefore it's not a good nezer, because the Torah made it usher. But the point is, that's loya marklum, it's nothing. What happened to the second part of our Mishnah, which says, yeah, we know that it's nothing, but even so, you still have to go ask a shaila. So you have to go to a rav to be matarit. So this seems to contradict the conclusion of our Mishnah, which requires that you're matar. So is it nothing, or do you have to be matar? So the Gemara's first teretz is Amar Abaya, which is kind of the way we've been explaining. Abaya says, Loi Omar klumi da'araisa, enachrami. On a da'araisa level, it is nothing. We all acknowledge the fact that this is not a good neder because it's a davar aser. You can't make a neder like that. However, v'tzarech she'ela midarabbanan, our Mishnah is coming to tell us a new halacha, a new insight. You're right. We're not disagreeing with the Braisa. The Braisa is just giving you the basics. The basics are it's not a neder. But our Mishnah is telling you the full story. The full story is, yeah, but then you have to go to a rav and be matar anyway. We want you to be matar this type of neder, midar abonim, we're going to require it. That's a bias teretz. Rava says, no, there's nothing, everybody would agree that you have to be matir. Ha b'tamach chacham, ha ba'am ha'aris. But it depends on who you're talking about. It depends. If you're talking about a tamach chacham, as we're going to see in a moment, is the exception to the rule, does not have to be matir this kind of neder, because he knows up front that it's not a good neder, as opposed to an am ha'aris that does not realize that sometimes this is a good neder versus sometimes it's not a good neder. And as we're going to see, more importantly, especially the way the Rosh learns the pshat, that an am ha'aris is kind constantly making nedarim, and he doesn't realize that he's getting himself into trouble, and one day he's going to get himself into real trouble and not realize that he made a neder midaraisa. So that's why we require him every time he makes a neder, especially in the context of his wife, because he's in close proximity with her, and she's always very often the person who he makes the nedarim against, so or is affected, let's say, by his nedarim the most. So therefore, we say when it affects your wife, you're going to have to be matur, so that you don't end up in a situation where you made a neder and you didn't realize you made a neder and it's chal. As opposed to a Talmud Chacham, one, again, these are different Rishonim, learn different ways, but I'm going to put them together. One is he doesn't make nedarim that often. And two, he also knows the difference between a good neder and a bad neder. So he'll know if I made a neder that's just annoying, then fine, I'll ignore it. Versus if I made a neder that really means something, I'll deal with it. Then I'll go to be matured if I need to. So that's the way Rava learns. So Rava learns it's not a extra din. It's a din. It really depends. The Braisa versus the Mishnah. It depends on who you're talking about. The Talmud Chacham knows how to, so to speak, be in check and in control. So he doesn't have to be matir. As opposed to an Amoritz is going to have to go be matir. But Vahatanya, now this Vahatanya, as the Ran very clearly says, is trying to prove to us that this is a proof, this is a consistency, not a question. Sometimes the word Vahatanya is meant as a question. Here, but once in a while, we have Rashi throughout Shas, and here the Ran says, the Pefeish Vahatanya over here is a Raya. Similarly, we have another case, Hanoider Batoiru. A person says, I'm making a Neder Batoiru, exactly what the case is, what were the words, but let's simply say he says, I make a Neder in the Torah that this object should be usher. That's what he said. The halacha is loyamar klum. And we'll see on Amar Beis why that's nothing. In any event, it's not a good neder. V'omer Rabbi Yochanan, v'tzor she'el l'chochem. And Rabbi Yochanan says, but even though it's not a good neder, you still have to go be materit. However, to make our point, V'omer Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman on that says, V'tamach Chacham ain't tzarich she'ela, but V'tamach Chacham doesn't. So we see that in the explanation, again, we're using an example of something, making a neder b'Torah, that doesn't work, as we'll see in a moment why not, but the point is that the neder doesn't work, and the halacha is that you, generally speaking, have to be matarit, and even so, by Tamach Chacham, Rav Nachman very clearly says, Tamach Chacham doesn't have to. So we see that a Talmud Chacham who understands what's going on and can make a difference in whether it understands whether it's a good neder or not, a Talmud Chacham doesn't have to. So the same thing over here also, we can make a distinction and say that the Talmud Chacham is not necessary for him to be matter the neder, even though an Amoritz will be required to be matter the neder, even when the neder is not a good neder. Okay? So that's the point. It's not a good neder, but we're going to require, as an extra chumrah, as an extra precaution really, we're going to require an amaris to be shoyal on this neder. Now, let's see what the difference is between a amaris and a talmud chacham. Okay? So one second, the Ran, right on the top of the Yomid, on Yadalad, now we're switching to Yadalad Amabez, the Ran, right on the top of Yadalad Amabez, says, okay, so we see, now there are two examples where an Ama Oretz has to go be Mater Neder. He has to be Mater Neder in the case when he makes the Neder against his wife, and also when he uses the Torah as his basis to create the Neder. In both of those cases, he has to be matter, even though it's not a good neder. So the Ran explains the common denominator between those two cases is that in each of those cases, it's very nuanced. And sometimes you could say it in a way that the neder works, and sometimes you can make a neder that it doesn't work. So because it's nuanced, an Ama Oretz is not going to pick up the distinction and know and realize, oh, this is really a neder versus, oh, this is not a neder. He's not going to realize that. So therefore, as a general rule, in those contexts, we're going to require that he's mater neder always. As opposed to, and that's why a Talmud Chacham doesn't have to, because a Talmud Chacham understands. A person who is familiar with what the halachas of nedarim and knows nedarim well, he knows when it is a neder and when it's not a neder. You know, hopefully we're now on that level with Talmud Chacham. Hopefully we're learning here. So we know that sometimes you can say something, even though it sounds like a neder, it's not a neder. So then you don't have to worry, you don't have to go running every time, because you know when it is a neder and when it's not a neder. As opposed to in both of these examples, in the case case of the wife, where he's constantly making nedarim, and one of them could work. And the case of the Torah, as we're going to learn in just a moment, also sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work, and the Amoritz doesn't know, so we're going to say, you know what, as a general rule, you always have to run and be matur. Okay, so that's what the Ran says right at the top of Yudalat Amud Beis. Now the Gemara, now starting from the top of Yudalat Amud Beis, Tanya, so let's talk about this case of the Torah itself. Hanoyder Batayra, Loyomar Klum. So one second, so once again, this is the case that we've been talking about. If I say, I want the Torah, like the Torah, I want this object to be Osir, that's nothing. That's nothing, because the Torah is Osir intrinsically. However, B'masha Kosev, well actually no, we'll explain why it doesn't work in a moment. B'masha Kosev Ba, but now if I say, I want my object to be Osir just like those things that are written in the Torah that make it Osir, Devar of Kayomin. So then that actually is a good nether. So here you see immediately, like we were just discussing, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. So if I say Masha Kosev Ba, Devar of Kayomin. Ba, Uva Masha Kosev Ba, also Devar of Kayomin. If I say, I want the Torah and what is written in it, so then also that is a case where the nether is going to work. Okay. So so there are three examples over here. Let's explain why we need all three examples. Ketani, as the Mishnah or the Brisa says, b'masha kasev ba dvar kayamin. So we already said that if I refer to what the writing is, then it's a good nether. Bo b'masha kasev ba tzarich lemeimar. So then why do I have to say in it and what's written in it? It's also a good nether. Of course, once I've said, so to speak, the magic words, the buzzwords, that what's written in that I want my object to be like the Yisurim that's written in the Torah, so I already said that. So what's the distinction? What's the chiddush of the Mishnah when it says, I mean, the Torah and also what's written in it? I already said what's written in it is going to be a good nether. So it's a good nether. So what am I adding with this last case? So the Gemara is going to give a number of terutzim to this kasha. Omer Rav Nachman loy kasha, it's not difficult. Hod mochta a'araiso a'aro. It depends on where the Torah is at the time you made the nether. I mean, the literal translation is that the Torah is on the floor. I'm not sure exactly if I can visualize a Torah literally sitting on the floor, but it's not sitting in a prominent, respectful place. So then the nether is not going to be chal, as opposed to when it is biyode, where I'm holding it properly in my hand, as the Gemara itself explains. Mochta al aro. If the Torah, so to speak, is on the floor, daite agvili, then what he means to say, since the Torah itself is not in its choshuva, the respectful part of it, in a respectful way, so when I make a neder on the Torah in that position, so then I'm also not referring to, so to speak, the respectful parts of the Torah. I'm referring to the margins of the Torah. Meaning, I'm referring, when I say the Torah, I mean the parchment that it's written on, the margins that are, the thing, the Torah is everything. It's the cloth. It's everything about it. So then there's really nothing usher per se about that object. And when I'm making a neder based on that, I'm making a neder based on something that's not usher. So it's not going to create an isser. And that's the case, that's what I mean when I say batayra. And again, especially in this situation, as according to the way Rav Nachman has answered, that it's on the ground. As opposed to nagale biyode, but if I'm holding it in a respectful way, daite alas karois shebo. Then I'm referring to that if I'm holding it respectfully, then I'm talking about the most respectful part of the Torah, which according to the Bavli is the Askaris, the Shem Hashem. So it's referring to the Shem Hashem. So then I am trying to make a neder. So again, it's not so much the words per se, it's really more the position of the Torah. So when I say ba, what am I referring to? So ba means that, ba means an it. Now an it makes a difference whether it's on the floor versus in your hand. That's the first teretz of the Gemara. That's the first teretz of the Gemara. So it depends on where the position of the Torah is. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. The Iba is Emo. The next teretz of the Gemara is, it happens to be that the Ran brings his shita, he also brings the shita Saravid, But the Ran Shita is that this is really more of a shul, even though we're calling it an eder and it's in the context of an eder. But the Ran learns that this is the whole sugi over here is talking about a shvua. However, he does bring the Shita Zaravid. The Shita Zaravid is that this would be more in the context of an eder as opposed to in the context of a shvua. So that's the way the Ran learns the sugi. A side point that the our Gemara talks about your focus on the askarois, as opposed to the Rishalmi says it's bekedushas hatorah, not necessarily the askarois per se. And again, this might go into the fact of whether, if you again, especially if you're learning this as a shvuah versus a neder, whether or not you need to say Shem Hashem. But everybody agrees, by the way, everybody agrees, even if you hold like the Shitas Rishonim that say that for purposes of a shvua you need to have a Shem Hashem in order to make it a real shvua, everybody agrees that by a neder you don't need the Shem Hashem. So if you're learning the sugya that we're talking about in Nedarim over here, it's certainly not referring to the, you know, even if you mentioning the askaris, which is the Shem Hashem, then again, that you still could learn. It's not necessary for the shvua, for the neder. If you're learning shvua, the Shem Hashem actually plays in a little bit more. And the Rishalmi that learns that we're talking about the kedushas haTorah. So then, if you learn that it's nedarim, then it makes perfect sense because we don't need a Shem Hashem in the context of nedarim at all. Okay, so those are some of the side points that come up over here. Okay, so that takes us again. So that's so far all the first Torahs, depending on where you're holding the Torah. No, the second Torah says that has nothing to do with the position of the Torah itself. And the case could be even, or specifically, that the Torah is on the floor. And the chiddush of the second and third case of the Braisa is, the afagav de mochta al ara, even though it's on the floor, kivan de amar b'meh, shekosil ba, mahani. The point is that I could still say, yeah, but I mean I'm referring to what's in it. So even though the Torah itself is currently not in a respectful position, still when I refer to what's written in it, I'm referring to the respectful aspect of the Torah, and that can create a neder. But if you learn like that, then this third case of the Mishnah says ba'u b'mashu kasaba is not a chiddush anymore, because we already made that point. We already made that point that once I say that I'm focused on the writing in it, it doesn't matter where the Torah itself is situated. The Torah as a whole, where it's situated, is no longer relevant because I'm focused on what's written in it. And that's actually what the point is, that we see that even if I said both, ba, uva, mashakasa, ba, still, it's the mashakasa, ba, which is the part that I'm focused on, that makes it into a nether. And that's the chiddush of the third case of the Mishnah. Again, even though the Gemara says v'zev ein tzarich l'merzeh, I don't really need the third case of the Mishnah, but it does enhance the understanding that the focus is on what's written in the Torah. That is what makes it an eder. The Yibay same in the third Torah, it says the kula. Now we take out the word mitziyasa. Take out that according to the way the Ran learns for sure, you take out that word. So the way to read it is ema kula nami denokat le biyodin. Again, the opposite. Not that the Torah is on the floor, but on the contrary, the Torah, you're holding it properly. So what is the chiddush as follows? Kivan denokat le biyodin. Since I am holding it, Afagav deloy omar ela ba, when I said only it, kimanda omar b'mashakasa ba dami. It's as if I said that what's written in it, meaning like this. If I literally only said, if I'm holding it in my hands, then even though I didn't say ba, it's as if I said ba. So what we're saying is like this. We're saying that the third case of the Mishnah is explaining the second case of the Mishnah. Again, because I'm holding it in a respectful way, so When I say what's written in it, I'm referring to what's written in it because I'm holding it in a respectful position. Even if I don't say the word ba, even though I didn't say and because I'm holding it in a respectful position. So really, the second case and the third case are really the same case, except, well, they're not really the same case because I didn't say the words ba, but they're really working, they're functioning, and the neder is chal because of the same reason. The same reason is because I'm really focused on what's written in the Torah, and that's what I'm saying. But because I'm holding it, whether I say, whether I refer to the fact that I'm holding it respectfully is not necessary. That's the chiddush of the second verse or third case of the Mishnah. That it's not necessary to refer to it in my words when I'm making the neder. But the reason why the neder is chal is because I'm referring to what's written, and the reason why when I'm referring to what's written is works because I'm holding it, whether or not I actually made that point in the words of my neder. Okay, so to summarize that Gemara, we have three terutzim. They're all based on the even though the second and third case seem to be very similar, but they're all creating the same chiluk. The point is that what am I focused on when I made the neder? The first terutz of the Gemara is simply, it depends on whether it's on the ground versus holding. So since it's on the ground, obviously I'm not focused on what's important in the Torah. Or let's say it in a nicer way, that when I'm holding it, I am referring to the more important parts of the Torah, and therefore the neder is chal. So again, it's the ground versus holding, the first teretz. The second teretz is, even if it's on the ground, the chiddush is that if I refer to what is written in the Torah, then I, regardless of the situation, I'm still referring to the chashuva part of the Torah. And the third teretz is, no, I'm definitely holding it in my hand. And that's the chiddush. The chiddush is that I'm referring to the fact that I'm holding it in my hand, even though without saying, it's because I'm holding it in my hand. So again, the difference on ground versus hand, only on the ground or only in my hand. Those are the three terutzim of the Gemara. Okay, so that takes us to the next Mishnah, which again is towards the bottom of Yudal and Mabez, and we'll start the Gemara on it as well. Koinim Sha'ani Yoshin. A person says, I'm making a neder that I am not going to sleep. Now, the Ran points out that you're going to say Sha'ani, not Sha'ini, because this is not a Shvua, this is a neder. So I'm making a neder, and we'll see in the Gemara in the proper way, which is that I'm making a neder on my eyes that I'm not going to sleep. Sha'ani Medaber, like we learned in the last Mishnah in the first parak, that I'm making a neder that I won't talk, means my lips won't talk. Sha'ani Mahalach, that I'm going to walk. That's the first case in the Mishnah, the first set of cases in the Mishnah. Then also, Ha'omer Le'isha Koinim Sha'ani Misham Shecha, if a person says, I'm making a neder that tashmish, the relations with you should be usur. In all of those cases, all of those cases are a good neder, and if you violate the neder, you're going to be over the isur of Baal Yechal. Okay, so those could be a neder, and here, interestingly, similar to the first Mishnah, even though you're talking about your wife, if you make the neder properly, it's a good neder, and if you violate it, there is an isur being violating your isur of Baal Yechal. Okay. The Gemara then says, Itmar, Koinim Einai, Eini Beshino Hayoim, Im Ashein Lemocher. So now right away the Gemara jumps into this other case, another variation of the Mishnah, which is going to create the whole interesting topic. And I say as follows, I am making a neder on sleeping today if I sleep contingent on whether I sleep tomorrow. Meaning, tomorrow is the condition, and if I fulfill the condition, then that creates the nether for today. That's what creates the nether today. So the tricky part about this case is that the today, whether or not today is usur, is contingent on something that may happen in the future tomorrow. Okay? So that, in that case, the question is, am I over the isur? So if I violate today, it depends. Today is what's mutter or asur. So if I did the wrong thing today, is that considered a violation immediately or not? So this is the machlekes. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Al Yishein Hayoyim. We're not going to allow the person to go to sleep today. In other words, obviously, if he asks and he wants to know what to do, we're not going to allow him to sleep today. Because Shema Yishein Lemocher. Because maybe he'll go to sleep tomorrow. Remember, tomorrow's the condition, and tomorrow's condition will retroactively make whether today's violation is really a violation or not. Now, obviously, if I don't fulfill the condition tomorrow, then it's a non-issue. But the problem is we are concerned that I am going to trigger the condition, and therefore we're not going to allow him to sleep today. That's Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Shita. However, Rabbi Nachman Omar, Yosha Nayon, no problem, I could sleep today, because there's nothing necessarily intrinsically usur about today. It depends on what I do tomorrow. V'loi chashin l'sheva yosha namachar. I don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Okay? In other words, if I sleep today, which will create the nether, I'll make sure that I don't trigger the condition tomorrow. Again, assuming that the condition is something that's in my control, which is the example over here, because obviously it's a different case if I can't control it. But since I can control whether or not it's going to create the Isser, I'll just make sure that I don't create the Isser. So don't worry about what happens today. I'll deal with it tomorrow. I'll make sure that it doesn't become a nether. Then finally, on the second to last line of the Gemara says, "Umayd Rabbi Yehuda, ba'omer koinim ene b'shina lemachar imeshen hayoyim." So now we're flipping around the case. I'm making the conditional day today. I'm saying I'm not going to sleep tomorrow is the Isser day. If I sleep today, so today is the day that creates the condition. There, the halacha, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, shiyoshan hayom, that we're going to allow the person to sleep today. So we're just going to learn the top line on Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. So, but the point is that in this case, I can definitely sleep today, and then I'll worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is the Usr day. Tomorrow, if I triggered it today, then I'll deal with it, and it'll be Usr to sleep tomorrow. Even Rabbi Yehuda will agree in that case that I'm allowed to go to sleep today. Remember, the issue that Rabbi Yehuda is discussing is whether I'm allowed to go to sleep today, without knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. So the obvious question is, what's the difference? What's the difference whether today's the Usr day and tomorrow's condition versus if today's the condition day and tomorrow's the Usr day? What's the difference? So the Gemara itself answers this question on the top line on Tesvav Amud Aleph. So we'll just learn that and then we'll stop. The Gemara says, Ki loy mizdar b'tanai, because a person is not careful with the condition. Ava b'isura Mizdar. But when it comes to the Isser itself, then he is careful. So what he's saying is like this. A person psychologically, when they're focused and they know today is prohibited, there is a prohibition, so then they're very careful about whether or not they'll make sure that they don't violate it. Again, a serious person will make sure that they don't violate it. Versus if whatever happened in the past, and today is not really the Isser. Today is just could make retroactively that it's going to be Usser. So then a person is less careful. In other words, it's more likely that the person is not going to be careful about the condition, the triggering the condition, regardless of whether what happened yesterday. Even though, again, because it's not that doing this act right now is Usser. If anything, at most, this doing this act could create that yesterday was Usser. But yesterday is done. So a person is just psychologically, this is what Gemara is saying, a Chiddush, that a person just is not as focused on that and is not as careful. So if he's not as careful, so therefore I have to make sure that I don't put myself, this is Rabbi Yehuda Shita anyway, Rabbi Nachman argues, but Rabbi Yehuda Shita is, I have to make sure that I don't put myself in a position where I'm now up to deciding whether or not that it's going to trigger. I can't put myself in a position that late tomorrow when I'm not careful is going to decide my fate of whether I violated my neder or not. So if tomorrow is the day that it's going to be the Isser itself, so don't worry about triggering that because I'll be careful tomorrow about the Isser itself. But tomorrow being the condition, a person is just not as focused on conditions about what already happened in the past. So therefore Rabbi Yehuda says I have to be careful not to go to sleep today because ultimately is a better chance that I might end up triggering the Isser retroactively and I end up being Usser for what I did today based on what I'm doing tomorrow. So that is the chiluk that the Gemara makes. Okay, so we'll stop over here and pick up this line.